Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I'm Ed Stetzer from the North American Mission Board, and I do want to bring you greetings from Dr. Roy Fish, our interim president, and our staff there, as we have the privilege of serving and partnering with you in the task of proclaiming the gospel in North America. Thank you to David and Greg and others for inviting me to this conference. I think I want to thank you. I'm not sure until it's over. But nonetheless, I appreciate your passion for the gospel and for us cooperating together for the task of spreading the name and fame of Christ. I do want to bring your attention to, which wouldn't be appropriate since Nam brought me here, to Center for Missional Research. Make sure you pick this up. Brochure's over there. It'll change your life. Use it for your quiet time. Glad that you're here. Let me say this. I have mentioned to Greg and to David a few times that I am not sure I want to be here, and largely because I think I'm the wrong guy to be here. This is a fascinating discussion. I think it's an important discussion, but when we talk about convention, cooperation, and controversy, those tend to be issues that I think are important for us to discuss, but my passion and focus has been helping churches and pastors to get on mission. I'm a missiologist. I'm not a theologian of the caliber that many of that have spoken here. My paper will be a focus on missiology and doing it cooperatively. It's called Toward a Missional Convention. So I said yes to this conference, not because I wanted to engage in a controversy or debate or a dialogue. It seems that many have a desire to do that today. I must confess I am not one of them. However, I said yes because I believe that the mission will be exercised differently in different contexts, and we have not yet learned that that's okay as a Southern Baptist convention. It is not NAM's role to come in and talk about how the convention should restructure and do this or that. That's not my task. Jim Shattuck said a couple times last night, speaking of the future, he said, "I'm not an Old Testament prophet or the son of a prophet." I would say, "I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I work at a nonprofit organization." There is that my role is not to say we should change this or change that organizationally in Southern Baptist life. But sometimes I feel I must speak. And I must speak largely because if we are going to do biblically faithful ministry in the diverse cultures of North America, we must learn to do it together. So my agenda and my paper is not on issues that are so diverse that we could address. This is the I've been asked to talk about Toward a Missional Convention. I have strong feelings about Baptist identity, ecclesiology, and missiology. I think ecclesiology and missiology will be defining issues for Southern Baptists and evangelicals for the next 10 years, and we need to develop a robust theological application of both. But I think I ultimately am here, not again for the rush of the debate, but for the sake of the mission, so that the name and fame of Christ might be more widely known. I'm going to read my paper, and I know that is about as exciting sometimes as watching grass grow, but I think I'd like to make sure that I communicate with clarity, and hopefully I can read it without being too humdrum in the application of such. Let me begin with Toward a Missional Convention. The term missional is being employed with increasing frequency across the evangelical spectrum. Within the Southern Baptist Convention, it seems that many are working hard seeking to incorporate this term into our denominational vernacular. But are we really a missional convention? If so, what are the signs of our missional identity? If not, how might we be able as Southern Baptists to move from merely assuming a new buzzword to assuming an identity and common practice commensurate with this newly popularized word? In addressing the above questions, it's necessary to trace the origin of the term as well as examine its use in the context of the SBC. To be clear from the start, and contrary to some reports, missional is not a new word, and it's not my word. Its origin goes back at least 100 years. Its first mention is in the Oxford English Dictionary in 1907. Matter of fact, the first Southern Baptist and really the first modern missiologist to publish using the term missional was actually Francis DuBose in this book, God Who Sends. Then a professor and director of World Mission Center at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. He wrote in 1983 about God who by his nature is a sender, a missional God sending a missional church. I'll quote from him. He says, "What we have where have we missed the meaning of our pilgrim faith? Why has the biblical meaning of mission so escaped us? Where did we abandon the legacy of the Jesus way? We live before the mystique of the missional vision. But we seem to be able to keep it a vision at safe enough distance to keep us from being compelled by its power." And I think he's still right today. In May 1999, I preached at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary Chapel where I served, and I contended that the entire church should assume a missional posture, explaining that, quote, the normative expression of New Testament Christianity is missional, and I still believe it to be true today. Now that word has been used with increasing frequency by an increasing number of Southern Baptist leaders, sometimes without regard to its etymological origins or its 21st century contextual meaning. Ignoring both the base definition and normative contemporary application of the term has resulted in confusion. Put more plainly, part of the problem regarding the debate over what it means to be missional is that term has been used by many people in many different ways. Missional is used in most Southern Baptist contexts to describe the attitude of obedience to sharing the gospel around the world that all believers should possess. Such a concept is nothing new to this convention. According to the first line of the final report from the Ad Hoc Committee on the Cooperative Program, quote, Southern Baptists have always been a missional people, unquote. Statements such as these clearly reveal a common understanding of this term by most Southern Baptists as reflective of our historical commitment to the Great Commission and Great Commandment. While some have suggested that the missional concept is nothing more than a passing phase, the emphasis on being missional cannot and should not be dismissed so easily. In numerous instances, the term's use has become more prominent, and for good reason. Danny Akin's 2006 SBC nominating speech gave special emphasis to the fact that his second VP nominee was missional. The North American Mission Board now has renamed one of its teams Missional Networks. The Southern Baptists of Texas now have a Missional Leader Network, title is theirs, and recently tied the idea of the cooperative program to part of our missional identity. Anthony Jordan, executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, predicts a missional SBC based upon a past of our mission-minded orientation. Quote, I am convinced that we have set the course to be a missional people. We have dedicated to reaching people from every background. Every boy or girl ought to be able to hear about Jesus in their own language. Jordan is right and courageous to say that we are not yet there, but perhaps we have set our course to become missional. Even some of our seminaries have begun to use the term. Not surprisingly, considering its origin, the word is common at Golden Gate. However, some might be surprised to discover that New Orleans Seminary now has a course called Developing a Missional Church. Furthermore, the Missional Church book is now required reading for evangelism students at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Seminary presidents, denominational executives are not the only ones within the Southern Baptist life who see value in the term and the emphasis. Local church pastors are calling for the implementation of a missional concept in different ways. Ted Trailer, pastor of Olive Baptist Church in Pensacola, recently while speaking at the Alabama Pastors Conference, that said that being missions-minded is not enough. Quote, praying for missionaries is great, but if you're just missions-minded and praying for someone else, but you're supposed to go yourself, you're not being missional. It's not a great thing to send people if God has told you to go. One out of every two lost two people is lost in Alabama. We as Baptists are not missional because we really don't believe that, unquote. Statements such as these reveal a distinction between the historically missions-minded SBC and the need to be missional or become missionaries ourselves and to get a clear, compelling mission. Providentially, God already has a mission for us. The question is whether or not Southern Baptists will take that mission up and again become a missional people. Now, Southern Baptists aren't the only ones using the term missional. Nearly every group, evangelical or otherwise, is making common use of the term. Subsequently, some Southern Baptists are reticent to employ the term because its use and its endorsement by others outside of evangelicalism. I have a few pages in my paper, and when we release that, you can look through those. But I give examples from United Methodists, from United Church of Christ, from the Unitarian Universalists, from the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. What we can see clearly is that from one end of the theological spectrum to the other, many are claiming to be on a missional track of ministry. This frightens some and causes some to conclude that a missional emphasis is a liberal one, seeping into the conservative Southern Baptist Convention. But not so fast. Conservative evangelicals are also employing the term. The Wesleyan Church recently asked me to keynote with several others their first ever national meeting to help them become a missional denomination. Randy Pope, pastor of the theologically driven and culturally engaged Perimeter Church, preached a message at this year's Presbyterian Church in America entitled The PCA, a missional church, with a question mark, from 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. The Assemblies of God Department of U.S. Missions now has missional as one of their four key values. The Evangelical Free Church is gathering all their leaders in 2007 for a missional summit. And the Nazarene's Church denomination has adopted missional as their denominational goal. They describe themselves as Christian, holiness, and missional. The evidence is therefore overwhelming that the missional concept is breaking out all over evangelicalism and beyond. Further confirming this trend are seven recent articles in Leadership Journal that just came out, including the cover story. Eric Reed, the managing editor, quote, of Missional As, quote, "A philosophy of ministry. The followers of Christ are countercultural, on mission to change the culture. Missional refers to the specific activities of churches to build the kingdom of God in all settings where the church members are at work, rather than building up solely local congregations and programs, members, and facilities. Individual Christians and local congregations are taking new ownership of the mission." We are becoming missional. Some examples given in Leadership that demonstrate this ecclesiastical metamorphosis include Northwood Church, an SBC church in Texas, a Chicago Area Baptist Association led by Keith Draper, and Perimeter Church in Atlanta. Each of these ministries is at the same time solidly conservative and unashamedly missional. Still, not everyone within the Baptist life is happy with the dissemination of the missional concept. One of the primary reasons for the hesitation of some to embrace being missional is that term has long been associated with more ecumenical circles. Missiologists David Bosch, Leslie Newbegin, and Craig Van Gelder wrote of the church's need to interact with and impact culture. To accomplish this, the church had to be appropriate to that culture and focused on the mission of God. The terminology shifted primarily because of Daryl Guder's popular book, The Missional Church. In fact, many outside evangelicalism who employ the term regularly come from ministries that were largely birthed out of the Gospel in Our Culture network. Other organizations, such as Emergent Village, began to encourage the forging of cooperative partnerships between people and churches of vastly different theological vantage points. In doing so, some have created a dichotomy between the doctrinal and the missional, suggesting that the point of unity for Christians is not theology, but mission. As a result, these groups have defined the word in a different way than some of their predecessors. Other writers, researchers, pastors, and missiologists from a conservative perspective followed suit, rallying around the missional cause with the recognition that it was both descriptive of the true church and therefore prescriptive of how the church should operate today. Tim Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York, along with a few others, challenged the church to re-examine its role in the world. Suddenly, missional books, blogs, conferences, and articles were almost everywhere. The rapid and increasing use of the term missional caught the attention of still other evangelical groups, such as Nine Marks Ministries. Jonathan Lehman of Nine Marks writes, quoting, a lengthy quote, "My guess is that conservative writers and pastors in the emerging church movement like Mark Driscoll, after tromping through some of the same fields as their liberal counterparts, reached down, pulled up the missional plant by its roots, and then transplanted it into conservative soil." Ed Stetzer, for instance, frequently cites Newbegin, Bosch, and the Gospel in Our Culture Network gang in his book, Planting Missional Churches. Yet, where a GOC writer will say something like, quote, "missional communities are cultivated through participation in particular social or ecclesial practices," unquote, Stetzer will ask, "what does the Bible require for church?" It's probably unfair to say that conservatives like Stetzer want to build on a biblical foundation, whereas ecumenicals don't. It's probably kinder to say that Stetzer sees the Bible as authoritative for the church's mission, whereas someone like Newbegin will say that Jesus is the authority for its mission. What does this mean? It means that Newbegin does not want to give the Bible unqualified approval as Jesus' inerrant word, so he pits Jesus and his word against each other. Lehman's analysis here is correct. In the opening discussion on the development of the concept, I freely admit that conservative evangelicals did appropriate the term back from the ecumenical movement, even though Francis Dubose had used it and defined the term much earlier, as I learned, by the way, in my required reading at my Southern Seminary PhD in missions program. It was Tim Keller, however, who, quote, "pulled the missional plant by its roots and then transplanted it into conservative soil," unquote. Keller's influence is hard to understate when it comes to evangelical engagement in missional ministry, which may also explain why much of the missional talk in conservative circles comes from the Reformed tradition. Still, all the examples cited above sufficiently serve to illustrate that no one in Christendom has a monopoly on the term, including ecumenicals. And it is a shame that in a time when we have lost our outward focus in Southern Baptist life, some of our theologians are reticent to lead us to a more mission-focused theology and missiology simply because the concept was emphasized by our more liberal counterparts. Missional is not an ecumenical term, and it's certainly not their truth. Missional is central to who we are and what God has created the church to be. As previously alluded to, missional does not refer to an activity or program, but the very nature of a true, God-honoring, biblical, mission-focused, contextualized church. You cannot separate the concept from this reality. Due to space limitations, I can't address here the theological and missiological underpinnings of the term. Instead, I'd refer you to my chapter called The Missional Nature of the Church and the Future of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the forthcoming book, The Mission of Today's Church, Baptist Leaders Look at Modern Faith Issues, with Stan Norman as the editor. So let's talk about being missional. Being missional is not about terminology, but focus. Bringing the aforementioned observations to bear on the issue of Baptist identity may be an uncomfortable process for some. Unfortunately, some Baptist leaders, like many others within the larger spectrum of evangelicalism, have a tendency to object to anything that someone else uses. If liberals talk about social justice, we cannot. If mainliners talk about the kingdom, we must not. If the emerging church speaks of cultural relevance, we object. But the appropriate way to address mainline and emergent error is not to avoid these terms, but instead to define them in light of our scriptural mandate. In fact, if we are consistent in rejecting any terms employed by those outside our theological tradition, the unavoidable result will be the rejection of even biblical language. Many non-evangelicals use terms like evangelism and gospel and kingdom and, yes, missional in a way that we do not. We dare not abandon such terms. These terms were used originally by neither liberals nor conservatives. Many were originally employed and others commanded by Scripture. The problem is we spend so much time objecting to terms, we never get around to changing our churches. While missional may be a relatively new term, it's not a new concept. To the contrary, it is reflected in the pages of Scripture and seen with varying degrees of clarity throughout the ensuing centuries. Our Lord emphasized the strategic importance of the missional focus when he stated, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Earlier in the Gospel, John speaks of the incarnation. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, he writes that the Lord, quote, "became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Like our Lord, we are supposed to take up residence among our neighbors and in that culture. This is far from a new concept. For more than a century, we have embraced this idea as it relates to the foreign mission field, while simultaneously failing to realize that missional is not only global, but also local. The missional mandate includes our own neighborhoods and communities. It is precisely the implementation of international mission strategy and thinking in North America that is causing so much angst, but is also so sorely needed. Nevertheless, such a shift is absolutely essential, as the evidence of a declining church so clearly illustrates. It is not an exaggeration to say that evangelical churches, including SBC churches, are failing to impact the lostness of North America. New statistics from the Level Center at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary show that 89% of Southern Baptist churches are not growing through evangelistic conversion. Only 11% are experiencing healthy growth through converts. I have several other statistics. I won't go through them for the sake of time. The above statistics demonstrate the struggle of SBC churches to be evangelistically effective. Day after day, as the culture around us becomes more unfamiliar and even hostile towards Christianity, many Southern Baptist churches separate themselves further from the culture they are called to reach with a self-affirming and predictable, comfortable denominational subculture contributing to this widening distance. This chasm of cultural understanding makes it increasingly difficult for our church culture to relate to our prevailing culture. Without intentionality, churches become less contextual, less indigenous, and less evangelistically effective over time. The final result of this drift is that we eventually will become the very thing that we abhor, a church that is not faithful to the biblical mandate to engage and transform the culture with the gospel. Those who oppose a contextualized mission based on a fear of the very real danger of cultural syncretism may be surprised that Baptists on the American frontier, who are so often cited as the model, were often accused of being too close to culture. They wanted to be of the people. They were accused of being, in today's term, too culturally relevant. Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians were scandalized by the earthiness and even worldliness of Baptists on the frontier in the early 1800s. In every sense of the phrase, Baptists, like the incarnate Christ, moved into the neighborhood as they evangelized the frontier. And they scandalized the Congregationalists, the Presbyterians, and the Episcopalians. Over time, we, Southern Baptists, have become the scandalized, while others have been more effective at penetrating culture and even more adept at moving into the neighborhood. But deep down inside, we really do believe that culture is relevant consideration when on mission. In fact, we demonstrate this belief every Christmas time. We speak of Lottie Moon, we speak of sending missionaries to foreign lands, and we expect them to don the clothes, live the customs, and be part of the community while proclaiming a biblically faithful gospel. Therefore, we should not forbid North American missionaries, pastors, and laity from doing the very thing we train and expect international missionaries to do. As mentioned previously, missiological thinking is not the same as missionary support. Simply put, being mission-minded alone does not mean that we are missional. Many churches that support cross-cultural missions do not carefully apply strategic missiological thinking or focus on a mission of God in their own context. Unfortunately, for they have confused missionary support, an important concern that needs more, not less, attention, with paying someone else to do missional ministries like evangelism and church planting, albeit on a foreign field. But this thinking precludes obedience to our Lord's commission in our local context. Church members are unable to experience fruitful service through participation in missional work through their own community. This approach to missional work is perhaps the unfortunate outcome of the separation between missions and evangelism in popular thinking among Southern Baptists and other evangelicals. To many, missions is something done elsewhere by someone. Thus, churches that are far-thinking and far-reaching in terms of international missions are often failing to reach the people in the shadows of their own steeples. North America is not viewed as a mission field. In fact, many believe it to be a reached field, only in need of an evangelism strategy, not a true missional engagement. What is needed is not merely an understanding of missiological thinking, but a commitment to missional thinking as well. While missiology concerns itself with a study about missions and its methodology, missional thinking focuses on doing missions in every geographical location. Such thinking is needed if the SBC is to remain faithful in its calling to serve churches by equipping them to impact their surrounding communities. Perhaps this is why fewer rising leaders look to Southern Baptists as a source for missionally effective strategies. Instead, they will often downplay their theological convictions to learn and implement strategies of those who do not hold to our biblical distinctives. They do so because they see the need for an indigenous expression of church and life, and they have not seen Southern Baptists as a whole willing to engage in the necessary theological and missiological thinking to help them develop such strategies. Why has this shift taken place? Perhaps one reason is that those who are most effective in one culture are often unable to contextualize in the new. Those who are most successful in the last paradigm often have the most difficulty in the next. Such one-time innovators have seen certain cultural expressions of effective Christianity. They are soon unable to consider methods and models different than their own. They know what works. They've seen it work before, perhaps in 1954. They know if they just try and pray and go as fervently as they did back then, it will work that way again. The problem is that with exploding diversity taking shape on our continent, many present-day North American contexts are increasingly less like North America of the past and more like other parts of the world. Consequently, that which was once effective in reaching those communities is no longer as such. We simply have not recognized, and must, that in many ways the how of ministry is in many ways determined by the who, when, and where of culture. Missional represents building upon what has been, what we have been, and not a rejection of what we have been doing. So as not to confuse, let me be clear. When a missional leader states we must engage and transform the culture for the cause of the gospel, that is not a rejection of the soul-winning leader who states we must win the lost to Jesus. They may be communicating the same objective. The objective is to the glory of God through a kingdom focus that results in the salvation of the lost. We have an opportunity before us at this Baptist Identity Conference to note that our move towards a missional denomination is one that embraces the best of our identity, celebrates the missional and the work of the past, but catapults us towards cultural engagement upon the North American continent that will see the salvation of Christ extend to people groups of all different kinds of communities. Churches and denominations whose ecclesiology is partially defined by a particular cultural expression often lock themselves into that culture. Remaining in the ear is music, methods, and strategies. This is where many Southern Baptists currently find themselves, trying to reach the third millennium with the formerly successful methods of the 1950s or perhaps the 1890s. Additionally, Baptists did best when they were locked into one corner of the nation geographically. Even when we broke out of the geographic South, we took a Southern monoculture with us. We were successful because we had unlocked the missional code for the early 20th century Southern culture, whatever that culture existed. While this approach is still successful in some areas, it is a methodology that is increasingly found to be unconnected to present cultural surroundings. So what then is the alternative? Southern Baptist churches must begin to think and act missionally in their settings. Presently, we are struggling with the challenge of finding the proper balance between cultural relevance and biblical fidelity. Churches really need to realize that that thinking is so essential for the United States and Canada are, in fact, mission fields. And we must think of them as such, thinking biblically and missionally in their context. To accomplish this, we must discern how to best connect with current culture without compromising the gospel message. The struggle, of course, is ongoing. It's been going on throughout the history of the church. From Tertullian to Calvin to Niebuhr, there has always existed a tension regarding how the church interfaced with culture, a tension between the appropriate intersection between theology, ecclesiology, and missiology. With this reality in view, we should dialogue with the awareness that being Southern Baptist is about theology and cooperation, not a certain methodology. To be Southern Baptist means that we believe certain things and we cooperate together to build God's kingdom. If Southern Baptists are to be, once again, the vibrant body that we have been in the past, we need not return to the methods of the past. As G.K. Chesterton explains, quote, "We are learning to do a great many clever things. Unless we are much mistaken, the next great task will be to learn not to do those things." It would appear Southern Baptists have not yet learned to do so. God has blessed three-week revivals, radio preaching, Sunday school enrollment campaigns, and bus ministry. God has used these indigenous and contextual methods in their time. But our task is not to pine away for methods. Instead, our focus must shift from the methods of those times to the motives of those times, which involve reaching the lost with the best practices of the church of the day. Today, Southern Baptists must stop treating North America as a monocultural continent. Every culture and subculture that now exists on this continent needs the gospel to be explained fully at a different starting point, but with the same ending point. Missional churches in our day are different from churches that choose to enshrine in the methods of past cultures. They are frequently different from one another. To quote Joe Thorne, "The more similar the context, the more similar the churches look incarnationally. But each community is somewhat different and requires the gospel and kingdom to be preached and demonstrated in different ways. As I see it, a missional church must therefore be at least three things: sent, engaged, and incarnated." The missional church is almost a redundant expression. The people of God are inherently a sent people. It is who we are, and it gives birth to what we do. We have just tended to forget this. Tim Keller gives the following five elements for a missional church. Number one, discourse in the vernacular. Number two, enter and retell the culture's stories with the gospel. Number three, theologically train lay people for public life and vocation. Number four, create Christian community, which is countercultural and counterintuitive. And number five, practice Christian unity as much as possible on the local level. The reason missional churches look different is because they're willing to risk to engage their culture. This is always a risk. There's always a risk in contextualization. Many churches are unwilling to take that risk. Some choose not to risk the condemnation of those who are comfortable within the crumbling walls of Christendom and that is more informed by modernity than by Scripture. Some cannot understand because they choose to equate contextualization and missional thought with compromise. Some cannot understand because they love their church culture too much. Some can understand because they are valuing the paradigms of the past more than the people of the present age, and as a result will gladly and frequently lose their children, their children's friends, and an entire culture of their community in order to preserve their traditions. We've seen the same emphasis in Southern Baptist life as well. Many voices call for a return to something to answer the problem of denominational decline. Influential voices confidently assert that a return to certain cultural expressions of ministry, preaching, and evangelism will cause the church to reclaim its effectiveness. Some of these emphases are needed and helpful. Others, however, are simply a reaction against the culture via reemphasizing the models that were successful in the past. I don't want anyone to come back to a specific paradigm of church beyond what is commanded in Scripture. I don't want them to come back. Instead, I want them to, in the words of Adrian Rogers, come to Jesus. For when they do, Jesus speaks lovingly to them and sends them to people who live in culture. Misinformed and fearful persons will always resist what they do not understand or what does not blend with their preferences. However, if the church is willing to be missional and its theologians and thinkers are willing to assist it, the kingdom will advance to new tongues, tribes, contexts, and cultures. It is important to note here that most of the theologians in Southern Baptist life have been and continue to be generally absent from important conversations about the intersection of church and culture among young leaders. Thankfully, there are notable exceptions. While many in the theologian class are still unsure about Rick Warren's Hawaiian shirts and his PowerPoint projector, young leaders are struggling with how to be, do, and tell the gospel in homosexual communities, transitioning inner cities, and vast suburban wastelands, and they look to others for the answers, and it should not be so. As the church rediscovers its missional mandate, it can receive a renewed passion to be a people on mission, taking the contextualized message and the unchanging gospel into cultures and to people untouched by existing churches. Such solid missional and theologically sound churches can be planted, revitalized, or grown if we will choose to engage and be part of the solution, not continue to lob grenades and half-truths and caricatures into missional church contexts. If the theologian class can partner with best practice leaders, the end results can be a theologically sound, missionally vibrant churches engaging the culture while remaining true to the faith once delivered to the saints. Perhaps we need a conversation, either even in a gathering like this, to discuss how we can engage cultures with biblically faithful and culturally relevant ministry, and yes, affirm different kinds of biblically sound churches. At first glance, this result may look culturally different, but God, the result is the same. From his perspective, the word has become flesh in a new setting. As these new churches express that missional mindset, no less than if they were new indigenous churches in Africa or Asia. How can this happen? How can we find this balance? It will require at least three things. Missional churches must contend for the faith, contextualize their ministries, and cooperate with other churches for the kingdom of God. Let me first talk of contend. Jude chapter 3 from the Lifeway translation, the HCSB, the Hardcore Southern Baptist Bible, says this. It tells us to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered. We are to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Many Southern Baptists have already given opinions as to what the missional church should be. I suggested in an article it should be incarnational, indigenous, and intentional. It is needing a balance of biblical fidelity and cultural relevance that helps the missional church shape a cohesive strategy for reaching its lost community. NAM has officially adopted this language to define a missional church. A missional church is a biblically faithful and culturally appropriate reproducing community of disciples sent on mission by God to advance his kingdom among all peoples. NAM includes the words biblically faithful as an important reason to demonstrate contending for the faith. The missional church will always contend for the gospel in its setting because that's its nature. It is obedient to its calling. It sees not only its obligation, but also recognizes the opportunities. On the other hand, when a church withdraws or isolates itself from its culture, it can no longer represent the Lord effectively, even though it has the words of life. Many churches withdraw by default. They do not understand their culture, nor do they wish to engage it. We must contend. If I had more time, I'd flesh that out further. But secondly, we must contextualize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23, Paul's writing says, I become all things to all men, that by all means possible I might save some, and I do this for the sake of the gospel. What's he contending for? The gospel. He contextualizes because he's contending. Some approaches to mission strategies, such as colonial and institutional missions, did not work in the past because they had the wrong focus. During the colonial era, for example, the intent of Western missionaries was not only to make converts, but to conform the converted into good Westerners. When we realized the error of colonial missions, we began to plant indigenous churches, which looked different from culture to culture and from generation to generation. They developed their teaching from the unchanging biblical text and their methods from ever-changing cultural milieu. A definition from 1938 of a meeting in Madras, India, at the International Missionary Council said this, quote, 1938 definition, quote, an indigenous church, young or old, in the East or the West, is a church rooted in obedience to Christ, spontaneously uses forms of thought and modes of action natural and familiar in its own environment. Such a church arises in response to Christ's own call. The younger churches will not be unmindful of the experiences and teachings which the older churches have recorded in their confessions and liturgy. But every younger church will seek further to bear witness to the same gospel with new tongues. If Southern Baptists could simply adopt this attitude in our current denominational environment, an unstoppable synergy could result in the conversion of souls, the transformation of lives, and the revitalization of entire areas by the power of the gospel. Such has been and should continue to be the essence of Baptist cooperation. When speaking of contextualization, I mean to describe a concept often known as indigenization. The conceptual shift from a latter term to the former is this. The definition of indigenous is born within a culture. And really, apart from Jewish culture, the Christian faith manifestly is not born within a culture and thus is not indigenous. So the term has changed and evolved over time to contextualization, and most modern missiologists then espouse the contextualization of the gospel within every culture on earth. evangelicals continue to struggle with presenting the unchanging gospel in an ever-changing cultural setting. Contextualization often feels to them like cultural compromise. In a Southern Baptist culture still recovering from a battle over truth and liberty, diverse expressions of church seem to lose biblical truth in an expression of methodological liberty. It just doesn't feel right to us. Every culture is imperfect and at times hostile to the gospel. However, cultures remain the context wherein Jesus Christ meets persons by grace. We must pay attention to the culture if we are to be truly missional. Yet while kingdom work like this continues, the fight about contextualization goes on within our denomination. Like a giant tug of war, each side is pulling hard. They see missional expressions as culturally relevant dangers. The battle lines soon become clear. Cultural relevance versus biblical faithfulness, a classic tyranny of the oar. To be sure, cultural relevance can be confusing. On the one hand, the church can be so focused on cultural relevance that it loses its distinct message or its distinctives. It ceases to be salt and light, and that's a very real threat. It has happened to countless churches and denominations, but on the other hand, it can decide that culture does not matter. Such a perspective will lead a church whose message is indiscernible and obscure to those who are outside of church culture. Let me propose an alternative, one that actually describes both the missional concept as well as the essence of Baptist identity throughout the centuries. Very simply, our churches need to be biblically faithful, culturally relevant, counterculture communities. Biblically faithful, culturally relevant, counterculture communities. For my full statement of that short sentence, I'd refer you to my article in Catalyst Monthly. But in short, we have to recognize we have to do more than contend. We must contend and contextualize as a counterculture. Please, don't miss this. Without such, our convention has no future outside of its cultural and geographic confines. But that means that SBC churches can and should look different from each other, and that makes it harder to cooperate. We must become known as a convention that believes in biblical fidelity and engaging people in culture, and we must learn to do it together. I recognize that many churches have not yet moved from inerrancy to sufficiency, but as a convention, we have settled the theological issues and have developed a clear confession. Make no mistake, I am not one who says, let's just cooperate around missions and not worry about theology. I've written about it in SBC Life. Theology matters, and that is precisely why we had a resurgence of conservative theology. But a theological renaissance that is not followed by biblical evangelism and mission is odd indeed. Yet that, according to Tom Rainer, as cited in Baptist Press, is exactly what has occurred, quoting the article, quoting Tom. The baptismal ratio since the onset of the conservative resurgence has worsened. This trend is negative and disturbing. To quote Cal Guy, a great missions professor at Southwestern Seminary, recently went on to be with the Lord, we apply the pragmatic test to the work of the theologian. Does this theology motivate men to go into all the world and make disciples? Does it so undergird them that they, thus motivated, succeed in this primary purpose? Theology must stand the test of being known by its fruit, according to Cal Guy. Our theological resurgence was necessary and important, but to date it has not passed the Cal Guy test. The time has come for biblically faithful believers with solid evangelical conservative Baptist theology to take the message to people in culture, and we must learn to do that together. Cooperatively fixing this problem will not be easy. We have no historical precedent in denominational life for cooperating with such increasingly diverse expressions of church and ministry. On the contrary, it is telling that the discipleship arm of the Southern Baptist Convention was called the Baptist Sunday School Board until just a few years ago. For decades, Baptists had Sunday school with attendance pins, 9-verse invitation hymns, suits, King James Bibles exclusively, and everyone knew what a Southern Baptist looked like. Judson Allen explains it well in a 1958 article in the Encyclopedia of Southern Baptists. Here's what he says. A Southern Baptist tends to remain a Southern Baptist, whether he lives in Virginia, Georgia, California, Ohio, or Montana. He needs not easily adjust to a church fellowship in which methods and practices are different from those to which he has been conditioned. Churches which are methodologically different are automatically suspect. Today it is still true. Churches which are methodologically different are automatically suspect. At the Center for Missional Research, we recently completed a study of over 2,200 SBC seminary graduates from 1998 to 2004. One question dealt with the issue of what Allen calls methods and practices. The results speak to Allen's comments. Graduates were asked to choose a church ministry paradigm that best fit their church. The most common answer chosen by 39% was traditional progressive, quote, churches that rely on programmatic structure to address the spiritual needs of the community. These churches often use Sunday school but may not exclusively use SBC programs, unquote. The second most common approach is the choice most similar to the 1958 version referred to by Allen. 24% of the graduates chose traditional program, quote, churches that rely on traditional SBC programs, Sunday school, disciple, we list them all, to address the spiritual needs of the community. We should rejoice and be thankful for their ministry. Next, with 17%, was purpose-driven, quote, churches that deliberately align themselves with PDC's five purposes of the church, identified by Rick Warren, and we list them. Additionally, 9% chose relation-based churches with structure and growth driven by face-to-face relationships like house churches, cell churches, intentional Christian communities. Emerging postmodern churches were 4%. Affinity churches targeting a particular affinity or ethnic group was 3%. And seeker churches with Sunday services exclusively targeting the unchurched were 3%, rounded out the responses. Brothers and sisters, since only 24% would look like the kind of church described in Allen's article, we need to decide if we want to give the others the reception that Allen described. Although it is no longer 1958, it can certainly feel that way for churches with diverse methodologies when they attend many denominational events. If we continue to treat these diverse pastors as automatically suspect, they will choose a different path, and our convention will be weaker. We need to find ways to cooperate. Preaching against innovation seems to be the cause du jour at many of our Baptist meetings. And it gets the big amen when you do it. But that amen corner is getting older and smaller every year. Although over 98% of our graduates who responded agreed that they believed in inerrancy, they tended to differ on issues or hold positions contrary to those that had the churches that Allen mentions. For example, 78% of the graduates believe that, quote, a culturally relevant style is important for a church to be evangelistically effective, 78%. Or 26% say that they are verse-by-verse preachers. To be more specific, 26% indicated that they, quote, primarily explained or commentary on the biblical text more than 90% of the time. Only 26%. I bet I just caused a lot of revision of curriculum at seminaries. These are our graduates. They're our young leaders. And we need them. If they do things, even if they do things different than we do in ours, we have already told a whole generation of purpose-driven pastors they are not really needed or wanted in the Southern Baptist Convention. Are we intent on communicating the same message to the next generation? Is it our intent now to go on to the next generation who dare to call themselves emerging, even when some disapprove of the term? Cooperation is a God-sized task. And it will take all of our missional cooperation to build the kingdom of God. But we have learned from history, theology, the best of missional practitioners, that as we engage in local community, we will become better partners with others who wish to cooperate to reach the world. For too long, we've cast a suspicious glance and sometimes even verbal assaults at others in our denomination who don't dress like we do, who enjoy different music, who don't have Baptists in the name of our church, in their churches, who preach differently, who don't have an altar call, and who are reaching people with whom we do not feel comfortable or with whom we differ on secondary issues. And yes, those comments have been directed the other way as well. The real question is this: will Southern Baptist Convention and its entities be seen as partners in the process of raising up new indigenous expression of Southern Baptist churches? If we can embrace diverse forms of scripturally sound church and ministry, we can again see the kingdom impact that I believe God wishes to renew in us. Can we cooperate, or will we be contending in vain as those who have contextualized in different communities can no longer work with us, not because of their theology, but because of their ministry expression? Furthermore, and I need to close. Furthermore, many young leaders who have been alienated and marginalized are not pining away, hoping that the SBC will welcome them back with committee assignments. Many of them have moved on to networks and other partnerships where they can get on mission instead of getting into an argument. The result of this phenomenon has become the elephant in the room in Southern Baptist life. There is a reason so many churches are forming networks. They are doing so because they no longer see ours as their best investment of time and energy. If our seminaries do not teach cultural engagement, our agencies primarily espouse strategies from a past era, and our associations reject anything that does not look like a tent revival, it will be little surprise that our young leaders consider us out of touch. The first step in organizational decline is you lose your most creative people who decide to go to more entrepreneurial settings. We've already lost most of them. In fact, we have actively pushed out many of them by teaching and preaching against them in many SBC contexts. The next step in our decline is that the most competent among us will begin to leave. Although I do not think we are there at this point, we are rapidly approaching it. And this is apparent to me as I observe the best and brightest among us who do not consider the denomination of Alma to be as helpful or as a good use of their time. They put their time and the resources elsewhere. And I ask in this context, where are the 40 to 50-year-old versions of greats like Adrian Rogers, Jimmy Draper, Ed Young, or W.A. Criswell? When Jimmy Draper was planning the first national young leaders meeting, he asked me for suggested speakers. I told him that what we needed most was a nationally known pastor who had credibility among young pastors, who was still clearly connected with the denomination. We could bring this person in and gather our young leaders around. His voice went up in excitement. He said, "Exactly, that's who we need. Who?" And I replied, "That's my point." Many young leaders have chosen other paths and networks. As a result, we have both lost their influence and the chance to influence them. In reflecting on this exodus of young leaders, I must confess I have grown both weary and encouraged at the same time, a feeling that many tell me that they share. Let me close with this. Missional, in the end, is simply a word. In fact, it's not even a word that matters. It's irrelevant. But in declining denomination, a missional emphasis does matter. Can we allow some of our brothers and sisters to use one word and others to use another? Can we also agree that we are off mission and need to get back on? Factions will not help, and I have no interest in creating one based on a missional label. Still, we need to recognize the importance of missional ministry in all kinds of churches. I am a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist because I was reared or redeemed at a Baptist church. I was not. However, I am a Baptist because I'm a biblicist. Based on my best understanding of Scripture, Baptist and biblical are and should be synonyms. And problems are created when they are not. Problems come when we place history, tradition, or even consensus over the authority of Scripture, something which I believe the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 adeptly avoided. But the Southern Baptist Convention is a convention with which we joyfully affiliate and partner for a cooperative mission and a common theological persuasion. It's not a church like the Lutheran Church with which we align in a common or required paradigm of ministry. I won't ask other people to do ministry the way I will. I am ready to see Southern Baptists united by our mission, already agreed to, by our common, already agreed to theology and mission. Personally, I'm ready to cooperate, even with those who are different than me. I won't ask Paige Patterson to become as reformed as I am. I won't ask Al Mohler to sing the music I sing with his shirt untucked. I won't ask Morris Chapman to don my silly glasses or utilize video clips in illustrating a sermon. And I don't mind being the only participant in the printed schedule pictured without a tie. Though it might be nice if there are a few more. I won't ask them to do it like me, and I will expect them not to ask me to do it like them. I want to be a convention where we agree on enough to get on mission. If we can't do that, we should start preparing now for our ultimate denominational demise. Southern Baptists began the cooperative program for the purpose of, quote, eliciting, combining, and directing the energies of the whole denomination in one sacred effort for the purpose of propagation of the gospel. I'm ready to contend for theologically sound ministry, to contextualize in different contexts, and to cooperate for the task of the gospel. That sounds like one sacred effort to me. And I'm ready to join hands with traditional, with contemporary, and yes, with emerging leaders in a new SBC, one that's engaging in the mission for the cause of the gospel. Will you join me? When the subtitle of this conference, one more paragraph, when the subtitle of this conference and several of its presentations focus on controversy, it should concern us all. The fire of that controversy can and will burn us all, and it hinders the spread of the gospel. The nations, ours and people around the globe, are waiting for the gospel. To use and abuse a metaphor, let's not fiddle and fuss while Nashville burns. The fire of that controversy is a fire that is and will spread to Alpharetta, to Richmond, state convention, associations, and our own churches. We've all smelled the smoke. As we fight the fire at helpful meetings such as this, a lost world continues to wait for the saving message of Christ. Let's get on mission together. Thank you.